You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report on this 17th day of March 2014. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Do you have your Irish green on today?
I do not.
Uh-oh. I'll have Pete pinch you a little bit.
Yeah, I got up before the sun came up and kind of forgot about it.
Oh, that's the way it happens. Tell me what happened in the marketplace.
Well, neither the bull nor the bear was enjoying green beer today, I don't think. I believe that kind of a mixed bag of news, mixed bag of trade. Kind of feels like we're seeing some consolidation. Trade is eager to await and see the numbers here at the end of the month, the acreage estimates, the quarterly grain stocks report, and probably the hidden one of all would be the quarterly hog and pig report
to see
where we are with numbers there. But, you know, news same as usual from last week. You know, eyes are watching Russia and the Ukraine area. Eyes are watching the domestic weather maps here on a hint of how soon the planting progress will start to move more north out of that Texas and southern region. And just kind of waiting for the next news item to give the market some reason to take out the highs we made last week or the lows we made last week, Todd.
I suspect you've been searching that news item out. Anything out there that tickles your fancy in terms of what it might be?
Well, I think we're going to be a stalemate here and look forward towards the numbers at the end of the month. I think that's going to be the next catalyst, as far as weather goes. The 30-day forecast came out, and it suggests more cold weather as we move into the middle of April. There is some signs that maybe we get in that last part of April here, we could warm up some. But for the most part, planting progress is taking place in the south. We're about 2 weeks behind. There is some corn coming up through the ground in portions of Texas, southern Texas. And we'll see how fast that moves north in through here. A little bit more optimism in the countryside. This rally we've seen since right after the January crop report is kind of doom and gloom there. But now with these higher prices in here, there's a lot more optimism than what we saw first part of January there, Todd.
Can you talk to me a little bit about PEDV, the impact it has had both on the hog market and what we can expect out of the grain stocks report at the end of the month because of it, if anything?
Well, the main thing is we saw early estimates of anywhere from 4 to 6% loss. Now I've seen estimates as high as maybe as 20% loss in the pig crop, for say. I don't know if we're really going to get a real handle on this March report. We'll see how aggressive they get. The overall virus has been around. It was kind of held in check during the summer, picked up during the fall, but really kicked in after the first of the year when the weather cooled down. It's really disheartening for the hog producer. Here they have a sow that puts out some real nice pigs. If it's infected, it's a matter of 3 or 4 days, 5 days later, they just plain shrivel up is the way I understand it. And that's just a tough one to swallow, especially with these profitable levels. The trade's very serious about it. The hog market's just plain skyrocketed here over the last few weeks. We have the June hogs trading at this 130, well, near 131 level. And we got that June cattle trading at 138. And this is kind of a historic here as, never before have we seen something like this take place. And we've got the market probably in a position here where we're going to see these hogs almost trade as much as cattle did. If you convert that cash news, if you take that 130, 131, convert to cash, we're trading about 97 cent cash hogs.
It is going to create a problem potentially for retailers when they try to price out pork at the meat counter, I would think.
When you're still looking at the price of ribeye versus center cut pork loins on sale, there's still a wide spread there. But over time and through here, we feel that gap's going to narrow significantly. So if you're one that likes butterfly pork chops, I would suggest maybe getting those bought and put in the freezer here for the summertime.
Mm-hmm. Time to buy the whole loin and cut her up and put her away in the freezer, I suppose. Turn your attention to a place that has been cold and is now starting to warm up like we are. That would be in the Northern Hemisphere, Ukraine. The Crimea, of course, has voted, and they said, yes, we would like to be with Russia. And now we have to wait and see what Russia does. The United States is trying to put some pressure on politicians and a few others by freezing their assets. What concerns do we have?
Okay. One thing I failed to mention, right now the trade's looking at 50 to 75 million bushel reduction in feed demand due to the virus. Now that probably will go higher as we move along.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
As far as Russia goes, I don't want to say a whole lot because I don't want to drive home and see an unmarked utility truck at the end of my street there. So that being mentioned, be careful when you go home. A lot of words thrown around. The sanctions, per se, nothing new. Russia seems to be two, three, four, five steps ahead of the U.S. here. A lot of things were transferred into other names. Ahead of this, we'll see how this unfolds. Kind of stepping back and looking at the big picture here, we've been the ones with the white hats moving into these countries and have them have elections and kind of do what they want. And basically, when you look back at what's taken place here, yeah, Russia moved into there, but they had an election and their majority's Russian and they had a large turnout and they've had a large vote all one way, so I don't know what you could really do to change that kind of movement right at the moment and through here. We'll see how things unfold. I think it's the best interest on both sides that grain will continue to move out of that region. The thing we have to watch real close is the producers in that Ukraine area. There's ideas that things do get tight. 20% of the production in that region could be at risk if things do get nasty, Todd.
And that would be because it's in the north and eastern part of Russia or of Ukraine, or why would that be the reason, do you know?
Well, from financing, from takeover,
right,
several different things. When you
inability to capture.
Correct. That's our best estimate now, but as we move along and through here, I don't think they want to do anything to jeopardize having income or having the ability to move grain out of that region.
And at this point, we know that the grain has been able to move, and it doesn't seem to have been impacted very much, although I did take a quick look, and it seems to me that there may be six or seven grain export elevators along the Black Sea that belong either in Crimea, just one, and then another six that belong in Ukraine, and those seem to be operating, at least those in Ukraine. Yeah, at capacity at this point.
According to our cash grain connections, business as usual. In fact, they kind of push things a little forward here, speed things up in case things turn sour. And right now they're in the midst of the corn export season, for say. The wheat's pretty well been shipped. The corn's been the big one. China, in fact, came in and bought some more corn out of that region, sort of bypassing us, and we continue to see them move away from our corn to some other GMO-free countries.
All right. Thanks so much.
Very good.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. By the way, if you'd like to get a look at where those export terminals are along the Black Sea for Ukraine and the Crimea, you can visit our website at willag.org. I made a Google map, posted there. That up there, you can see a hard map of it there. But if you hit the link, you can go to the Google map and take a look at the satellite, and just zoom in on any of the little red dots that point out where the terminals are.